It is the 27th day of August, 2017, the year of our Lord at Zion Baptist Church. And it's good to see you folks here this morning. Thank the Lord that God's people still gather themselves together with believers according to the Scriptures, as we've been commanded, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And as we see the day approaching, do therefore more often. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7, we continue there. But we move down to the middle of the verse, or the latter part of the verse 7 there. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Our God, we thank you for the reading of your word. Pray your blessings upon it. Have mercy upon us and help us, O Lord. Forgive us of our sins and our transgressions. And help your servant as he tries to feed your sheep, and your sheep as they try to receive the word. Lord, that they may be perfected thereby, day by day, little by little, here some and there some, Lord, that they may grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and be helped in their daily walk through this pilgrimage in this life. We ask it in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Thomas said earlier that he wasn't a troublemaker. He wanted to live in peace with his neighbors and those kind of things, and as much as possible with this world. I'm a troublemaker. I'm just a troublemaker. They want me to be tolerant of homosexual sodomites, and I refuse to be.
Amen.
I'm just not going to be tolerant with them. I'm not suggesting that we do like David did when they took Jerusalem and kill them all, because that's what David had his men do. I'm not suggesting that, but I'm not going to be tolerant of them. I will tell them and the rest of the world. They can call it hate speech, hate crime, or whatever they want to. God's Word says that it's an abomination to God, and He hates it.
Amen.
So I'm a troublemaker. I'm a troublemaker to these modern day churches that put on programs. Brother Thomas called it entertainment? No, amusement. Amusement. He called it amusement. Well, that's what they have. These modern day churches have amusement. They try to amuse everybody. Everything's got to be funny these days. You ever notice that? Anything you watch, anything you hear, it's always got to be laughing and carrying on in foolishness and amusement, even in these modern day social club called churches. Everybody's got to tell a little joke and make everybody laugh, because that makes them comfortable and they kind of feel at home. I feel at home and says, hey, wipe your feet, bring that bird in while you're coming. Now I feel at home. I don't know. I do not recommend that you get tied in with any of these modern day groups, whether they call themselves white nationalists, neo-Nazis. I forgot the other group that was up there in Charlottesville, Virginia. Oh, Antifa, whatever that is. It's a new word for me. I don't even know what it means. Antifa. Is that a word? Is that a title of somebody's little group of people? Anyway, I don't recommend that Christian people get tied in with any of that stuff. We have a book that we live by. We've got a set of rules. We call it doctrine. That's instructions of how we are to live. I recommend we just go by the book. We just go by the book. We'll be fine. Just go by the book. Let them demonstrate. Let them act foolish. Let them try to destroy our history. I seen an old colored man on OAN News standing in front of one of those old statues. Don't agree with statues anyway, but anyway. He was standing in one of those, I don't remember if it's Robert E. Lee, Stonewall Jackson. He's standing in front of one of them, and he said, I believe it was his great-granddaddy was born into slavery, got his freedom by Abraham Lincoln, and loved the South. And he said, besides that, why would you want to do away with history? Why would you want to destroy these things so people forget what our history was and what it's like now? Why would you want to do that? Why would you want to destroy history? Doesn't change it. Just because you destroy it doesn't change history. So my recommendation is just to read this book that we have, this Holy Word of God, and live by it, because that's what Jesus commanded us to do, is to keep His commandments. And in verse 7 here of chapter 2, He says, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh is the name of this message today, the sermon today. To him that overcometh. And I will give to eat. I will give to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life which is in the midst of the paradise of God. First, let's clear up what the Spirit saith unto the churches. I thought Jesus was talking here to John, the Revelator. And Jesus, he says unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, he's writing, and he says, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life which is in the midst of the paradise of God. What is the Spirit saying to the churches? I'm pretty sure he's talking about here what the Spirit is saying to all of the church ages all the way through Revelation. He says it more than once. He that hath an ear, to every church age, he says, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches, or to the church ages, to all the churches of every church age. Hear what the Spirit is saying concerning the end times. So, here Jesus says He was going to give the overcomers to eat of the tree of life. Jesus is going to give to the overcomers that they may eat of the tree of life that is in the midst of the paradise of God. God the Holy Spirit is the author of this holy book, this holy word of God that was so graciously given to us by the Holy Ghost, the Bible says in 1 Peter 1:21. For the prophecy come not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now that's pretty simple for a dumb old country boy to understand. That the Word of God came to us as holy men were moved by the Holy Ghost. The holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Turn with me now to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We'll get to the overcomers in just a minute. Beginning at verse 14 of 2 Timothy chapter 2, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. In other words, that word there that he used when he says they strive not about words to no profit, you shun those things. There's no reason to get involved with those things. They're only for the subverting of the hearers. They are not for the edification of the church, the elect of God, I mean. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Study what? The Word of God. Study a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's why we go to church, because the word of God tells us to in Hebrews 10:25. We don't forsake the assembly of ourselves together, and we study the word so that when the preacher preaches, we know whether or not he's preaching the word of God. And if there's any doubt about it, when we get out of here, we go home to make sure that what he was preaching was the word of God and was good sound doctrine. And if it wasn't, we can bring it to his attention. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. That's what vain babblings and false doctrines, misinterpretation or misunderstanding the scriptures will do. It will overthrow the faith of some because they put too much confidence in men instead of studying the word and rightly dividing the word. It's the reason I told the young man that I met the other day, God holds you accountable for teaching God's word to your family, men, husbands, dads. God holds you accountable. You will answer to him one day. Nevertheless, even though Hymenaeus and Philetus and modern day churches are preaching a false gospel and an easy believism and all the amusements that they put out in order to keep people coming back to church. I like what Brother Wiley Fulton put out this week in the email that you sent about these modern day churches and what the young guy from Kentucky or Kansas or wherever he was from put out last week about the modern day churches, that if you're going to turn the church into the world, why would the world come? If you're going to make the church look like the world, you're going to act like the world, and you're going to bring NHL, whatever it's called, and put it inside the church and have Super Bowl Sundays, and you're going to have all the amusements that the world has. Why would the world come to church? They can get that outside the church, and they don't have to pay tithes to do it. Why would they come? Is it because you're offering them something? You're offering them eternal life if they'll come live good moral lives and pay their tithes and accept Jesus as their personal Savior and live pretty good lives. And you'll give them eternal life? That's not what the Bible says.
Amen.
That's not what the Bible says. So why do they come? You amuse them. And even though these things are going on, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That's what the church does. The church teaches the doctrine that if you're calling yourself a Christian, you depart from iniquity. You don't tolerate iniquity, transgressions, and breaking the law of God without consequences.
Amen.
You don't stand by quietly and let a bunch of sodomites, homosexual perverts, take over the nation while you keep your mouth shut. You don't do that. Well, it might offend somebody. If the truth offends you, you're just offended. And ought to be so.
Amen.
That's just the way it is. If it offends you, and if it offends people for me to read what I just read, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Quit breaking the law of God. You do realize that's what iniquity is. That's what sin is. Sin is breaking the commandments of God. That is sin. That's iniquity. That's transgressing the law. That's why Christ had to die. That's why Adam fell. And every human is born in sin, separated from God and alienated from Him. It's because of sin, iniquity, transgressing the law of God. We live holy lives. We hunger and thirst after the righteousness of Christ. We want to live like He lived. We want to walk like He walked. We want to talk like He talked. And He hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans. Did I hear somebody say sick'em dog? Now, just who are the overcomers? Or him that overcometh is what the Scripture says. Him that overcometh. To him that overcometh. Who are the overcomers? I believe we just heard something in the last message about overcoming. Overcomers. I believe Brother Thomas read something about or said something about Christ has overcome the world. He's already defeated the devil. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Let's clarify first, what is the tree of life? It's Jesus. Jesus is the tree of life. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is truth. Jesus is life. Period. He's the giver of life. He is the tree of life. He is what will be given to us to eat of. It's Jesus Christ Himself. He will give us Himself because He is life. I'm going to take a wild guess and say that all of you eat breakfast this morning. Probably eat supper last night. Probably going to eat lunch when you get home and eat supper again short time after that. You keep your gut full. You all time eating. Why you do that? You're hungry for it. And if you don't eat, what's going to happen? You're going to die. You're going to die if you don't eat. That's the reason when people start to get old, people have to remind them, you got to eat. All old folks, they tell them, oh, you got to eat. I'm not hungry. I don't want anything. You got to eat. If you're going to keep living, you got to eat. Well, I got to die sometime. I'm old enough. If I don't want to eat, I ain't going to eat. But we keep eating, don't we? Well, the only way you can stay spiritually alive is to eat spiritual food. If you're not eating spiritual food as often or more often than you're eating physical food, you're probably spiritually dead or very weak. Now, modern day preachers will tell you, well, you know, you have carnal Christians. You'll have to show me that in the book.
Amen.
Find anything in there about a carnal Christian. Nothing. What I find is what I just read to you. He that nameth the name of Christ, let him depart from iniquity. You don't live in it. You don't dwell in it. You eat spiritual food. So Christ is that tree that we are given to eat of. I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. To him that overcometh will I give. I guess we ought to ask, overcome what? What are we going to overcome in order to get to eat of this tree of life? He's kind of referring back to the tree of life that was in the Garden of Eden, which was a type and shadow of the Lord Jesus Christ. That if Adam and Eve would have ate of, they would have lived eternally. Isn't that what the scripture says? They'd live eternally. Let us go get them out of here. Get them out of the garden. You know there's people still looking for that garden? They're still looking for that Garden of Eden. Well, to the church at Ephesus, or the first church age, all of the churches during the apostles' lifetime, all of those churches had to overcome their lack of love for Christ. They had to overcome the loss of love for Christ. Let me put it that way. Their love for Christ had diminished over the age as the church was going along because of the persecutions and because of false doctrines and a lot of different things. Their love had diminished, and Jesus said, you better repent. And you can go read about Smyrna and Pergamos and Thyatira and Sardis and Philadelphia and all of the churches you can read about, the church ages, and find out what they must overcome. And since we are the last church age, the Laodicean church age, you know what we have to overcome? Making Christ sick his stomach. We have to overcome making him sick for being lukewarm, neither hot nor cold. Every one of these church ages, at the end of it, they were told, to him that overcometh. Every church age, the same thing. Not everything is told the same at the end of to him that overcometh. Sardis was told, he that overcometh should not be hurt of the second death, meaning eternal separation from God. Pergamos was told, to him that overcometh I will give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written. And Thyatira was told, he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Every one of them was told at the end of the epistle to that church age, and you understand it's church age by what we read to you in 2, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches, not just Ephesus, but to the churches of that church age, all of them. to him that overcometh. Who is it that will overcome all this? All the things that each church age went through, and especially the Laodicean church age is the one that affects us mostly. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel thee, he says, to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. Who is it that will overcome all this? Turn with me to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 6. The Gospel of John, chapter 6. Excuse me. Let's begin reading at verse, what time of day is it? 53. Let's begin reading at John chapter 6, verse 53. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, excuse me, frog in my throat. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Jesus was talking about himself. He did call himself the Son of Man because to show his true humanity that he was a human being on this earth. The Son of Man was well known in the Old Testament to be the Son of God, to be the Messiah, the prophet that would come. So he calls himself the Son of Man. Except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. You understand what he's saying? Eat his flesh and drink his blood. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Same thing he says in Revelation 2:7. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life that is in the paradise of God, in the midst of the paradise of God. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. I'm not even going to explain why he's got to raise them up if they have eternal life. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He is blowing their mind. He's talking about his own flesh here, and he's telling them that they have to eat his flesh and drink his blood, and they don't know what to think about this. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Well, that's what we do with food, isn't it? We eat it and we live. That's what Jesus says. If you want to live eternally, you eat me. You drink my blood, you eat my flesh, and you'll live eternally. And I'll be part of you. That kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Even if he meant physically eating. It's what we do with food. The food becomes us. Well, that's what these people were thinking. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can bear it?" And when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you? What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Now, one of those things that people get started off on false doctrine and misunderstand what the Scriptures is saying, they take this to mean that you eat the Lord's flesh and you drink His blood. Literally. I forgot the word they used, but the Papists, these Roman Catholics, they call it transubstantiation. Is that right? Transubstantiation. They say that when the priest, I wouldn't let a stinking priest put his fingers on what I was fixing to put in my mouth. Would you? Would you let me put food in your mouth from my fingers? I mean, you feed a baby that way, but as you become a grown man, you put away childish things. You quit taking food from somebody's fingers and let them put it in your mouth. Nasty thing. Especially what I've heard from them stinking priests anyway. Bunch of perverts. But they say that when that priest puts that Eucharist on their tongue and they eat it, it becomes the actual flesh of Christ. In other words, all Roman Catholics are cannibals. Isn't that what cannibals do? They eat flesh, human flesh, and drink human blood. They've made movies about it, about humans that eat other human flesh and drink their blood. So therefore, all the Roman Catholics are cannibals, eating human flesh. Well, no, they're not cannibals, you idiot. They're eating a piece of bread and they're drinking grape juice. Or wine. Not sure which they do. Never been to one of their masses or messes. And don't want to go.
Amen.
Jesus just told them, "My words, these things that I said to you, they're spirit and they're life. I'm not talking about you biting my arm off. I'm talking about you receiving me by faith that my body is given for you."
Amen.
"And that my blood will be shed for the sins of my people. And that you receive that by faith and you eat that by faith."
That's right.
"So that you can live spiritually."
That's right.
"You can't live spiritually by eating flesh and blood. You live spiritually by spiritually eating the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. You understand that He was human flesh and that He suffered in your room instead. And that His blood was shed for the pardon of your sins." Who's going to overcome? Who's going to overcome? Who's going to be overcomers? Who are all these that were going to be overcoming these things that they may have the opportunity to eat of the tree of life? "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray Him. And He said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father." I don't understand these preachers so-called ministers in these modern day churches offering people salvation, how do they know whether or not that these people that's coming down the aisle that they have begged and pleaded and sung 47 verses of Just As I Am and told sad stories and persuaded them to get up out of the aisle and come down here and shake the preacher's hand, repeat this little sinner's prayer. Here's a copy of it so you'll make sure you say it right. And how do they know that it's been given to them of the Father? If you'll just quit giving those invitations and preach the gospel, when the Father calls them, you don't have to worry about them coming. They'll take it by force, the Bible says. They'll take it by force. You can't keep them out. They're coming. They're coming. And then you keep all these heathens out. Except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then Jesus said unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him. Now, you don't really think that Jesus was worried about them going away, did you? You don't really think that Jesus was asking them because he didn't know whether or not they were going to leave him or not. The Bible just told you that he knew one of them was a devil. He knew the one that would betray him. And he knew those that did not believe. All those disciples that were there at that synagogue at Capernaum while he was preaching about the bread of life, he knew who believed and who didn't. He knew who the elect of God were and who was not. He knew them by name. Not only did he know them that were there by name, he knew everyone in the world that was living at the time by name. Lost and unlost. Elect and non-elect. He knows everything. When a sparrow falls, it doesn't go without his notice.
That's right.
He knows everything. But he knows his elect by name. He knows them as adopted children, lost in their sins. And he come to save them from their sins. And for those that are not yet born, when Jesus was walking the earth, he come to die for those he knew all of them by name. Those that are not yet been born today, that are the elect of God, who are already deemed overcomers. They've already been pronounced overcomers because it's not us that's doing the overcoming. We're believing in him that's already overcame. It's in him that we're overcome. It's in him that we live and move and breathe and have our being. It's in him that we have anything and we draw one more breath. It's in him. Everything is in him. Will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life. Jesus said the words, the things that I have said unto you, the things that I say unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And Peter says, thou hast the words of life. And we believe and are sure. We believe and are sure that thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered, them have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil. You reckon how many was there before he told them that, hey, you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. it just appears to me that they was probably a pretty good congregation. And he was left with less than we have here today. Just 12. Just 12. I've chosen you 12, and one of you is the devil. He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. He didn't choose him by mistake.
No.
He didn't choose him thinking that Judas Iscariot's a pretty good fella and a good bookkeeper and a treasurer, and we'll let him hold the money and he'll turn out okay. Well, you know that's what he had to think, because God's drawing everybody. He wants everybody to come. He wants everybody to be saved. And if it wasn't for our free will, he'd save everybody. Because God loves everybody. It's strange to me that Jesus got through telling us that I hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans. I said, yeah, preacher, but he hates the deeds of them. He don't hate them. That's the reason he's going to cast them into hell, because he loves them so much. Come on. All those that will overcome are those who by faith believe, receive, and eat the Lord Jesus Christ. He is their spiritual food, and they've been made spiritually alive. And now they begin to eat. At first, just a little, because babies don't eat a lot. But the more they grow, the more they eat. And the more they grow, the more they eat. And the more they grow, the more they eat. How much are you eating? How much are you eating Christ? How much are you hungering and thirsting after the Word of God, the righteousness of Christ, to know Him? How much are you making sure that your calling and election is sure? How much are you removing all doubt that I am truly and really spiritually alive? I've been born by the Spirit of the living God. I've been made spiritually alive. And I'm a warrior in the army of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll fight for the righteousness and defend the gospel and defend the Word of God with my dying breath. And I have to eat in order to fight. And the only way to eat is have communion with Him on a daily basis, in the morning, before you go to bed, reading the book, praying on your knees before Him. Having fellowship with brethren. Hearing little things like, I pulled over side of the road. We stopped eating so we could pray. Those little things that gives you encouragement that you're not fighting this battle alone. These other folks out there that God, like Elijah sometime, we think, Lord, I'm all here alone. Just take me on, Lord. I'm left alone. Jezebel's fixing to take my head off. Shut up, Elijah. I got 7,000 that have not bowed their knee to Baal. 7,000 that you don't know about. You said, that don't sound like a lot. You just think about 7,000 Solomons with a jawbone of a donkey in their hand. What kind of damage they could do. You think about 12 apostles, what they could do with the help of the Spirit of the living God and the Lord Jesus leading them. Just look around. Look at our past and you can tell what they could do. In one place in the scriptures, it said these are here that have turned the world upside down. They can turn the world upside down. Grow not weary in well-doing. You keep departing from iniquity, and you keep hungering and thirsting after righteousness. All of the overcomers are. You can judge of how much you've grown in the Spirit by how much you eat of Him. Little babies don't eat much. Little boys eat a little more. And they eat sweet things. You know, I got grandchildren. They like sweet things. They don't like meat. Well, some of them like bacon. You really can't call a chicken nugget meat. Chicken nugget's not meat. If you've seen where they've scraped that off the floor and throw a little flour on it, starch, and how green it was when they froze it, you wouldn't be eating chicken nuggets. You might eat chicken tenders. I hear they're real clean and they're real meat. Chicken nuggets, stay away from that. Kids like sweet things. So if you're just reading the sweet things in the Word, you kind of know about where you're at in your spiritual growth. But if you're wanting the meat of the Word, if you're praying, Lord, I want to know You like the Apostle Paul knew You. I want to be caught up to the third heaven so I can see things that are unutterable, that I can't even talk about. I want to know You, Lord. You get a little better idea of where You're at. And the least little sin, you just torment over. Measure your spiritual growth by how much you're eating of the Lord Jesus. Brother Guy, would you ask the Lord's blessings on us, and we'll be dismissed.